Hey, my little angels, this is John's Online Podcast, where I talk all things my perspective, the way I see it. I'm your lovely host, Jean VA, and this is this week's segment of Bedtime Talks with Jean. This week, I want to talk about embracing differences. Being different can be hard for some people, and I want to talk about how them being alienated can affect them, especially because I feel like the world, all people in general, demonize people who are different. So we're going to talk about that today. Before we get into the nitty gritty, I do want to talk about my week recap. This week was pretty good. I feel like I had a good start to the beginning of the year. I feel motivated. I have that, you know, that freshness of like, oh, it's new beginnings. We have another opportunity, a fresh start, if you will. And I'm really excited for what this year has to come and what it has to offer me. So yeah, this week has been good. I got back in the gym after 2 weeks. I'm really pumped about that, but currently sitting on this bed, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm very, very stiff, uncomfortable, sore. But it's okay, because we're gonna persevere, we're gonna push through. Another big thing that I've been excited about, or that, you know, happened in my week, was I have like an extra push, or have like more things that I want to do as far as content. Now that I have the whole year to look at. Now I'm trying to establish what type of podcast episodes I want to implement in what months, what other collaborations, what other type of videos I want to do, what other type of vlogs I want to do, where I want to vlog. So my mind has just been racing. It's been on go because I'm so excited for what I'm going to do this upcoming year and what I'm going to like continue to be consistent with on YouTube and my other social media platforms. And I've been battling trying to concentrate my thoughts because I've been so excited. And isn't that crazy? I don't know about y'all, but for me, I used to be like, God, I'm literally dreading the next day. I don't even want to make it to the next day, low-key. I can't do it. And it was keeping me up at night because I'm like, bro, I literally hate my life. Now it's like, dude, I can't wait to the next day. I'm overly pumped. Like, what's next? I have all these ideas. I need to start planning this. I need to organize that. I need to start recording this, produce that. My mind is just going all over the place because all the different things that I'm trying to do. And I'm like on the edge of my seat at all times, and I can't get rest. So then I start to become restless because I'm so excited about all the different things that I have in store and what I'm trying to accomplish with my content. And having a creative mindset and having a mindset that, you know, you may be sleeping or you may be trying to rest, and then you get an idea and you have to write it down immediately, or you want to immediately start putting it to life. That, like, I love it, but at the same time, it's really annoying because I have so many ideas now and there's different things that I'm trying to start working on, but now I need to dial it all back and be like, okay, what is more important? What project needs to come out sooner than the next? Because I ain't gonna lie, y'all, I have a whole Houston vlog that I haven't edited yet because I started my podcast and I started doing Vlogmas. I posted eight videos in 1 month, and I haven't done that ever on YouTube. So now I'm just like trying to catch up, and I'm still trying to make my Houston vlog relevant because it was a really good vlog. But I know some of the things that I said, some of the things that I wanted to like shout out, are irrelevant because I've exceeded those goals. That's a good thing, but at the same time, it's just like, okay, I need to play catch up. But yeah, so that's kind of been my week, trying to battle and understand like how to, and basically kind of realizing that being excited can be distracting too. And I'm not trying to be distracted from my goals and everything, but it's just like, you at all times, you kind of gonna be like, okay, like this is exciting, but we're not at where we want to be. We haven't achieved this goal or that goal. So it's like, okay, Jean, let's be excited, enjoy the moment, but don't let this excitement make you think that like, oh, you done made it somewhere yet, and you still at your mama crib, you still at your daddy crib. So it's like, still got some places to go. That leads me to the topic of today. Speaking of content creation and trying to stand out, and I mean, that's essentially why I would have all these different content ideas, is because there's things that there may be inspiration I see from other creators that I want to implement or see if I can even do. It sometimes puts you in a place of being alienated. Some people who aren't even content creators, let's be real, but some people who may look at my content and be like, oh, what is this girl doing? Or they could simply be like, I'm tired of seeing Jean VA on my TL. And guess what? Jean VA doesn't care. because it's all for the greater goal. And just like anything, when someone has any other type of business, if they're selling merch, if they're selling a physical product, they're going to keep reposting and they're going to keep posting their stuff because it's like, hey, see, like, look at my stuff. Check me out. You know, I have taken a different route and I'm doing something different that it's not that rare, thank God. But from the friend groups that I was in, some of them may not see the value in what I do, or some of them may not agree, or some of them may not understand the seriousness of how much God has impacted my life. And specifically, I say that because I decided to take more of a faith-based route with my content. So I feel like this is what I'm meant to do, and that other things weren't working because I wasn't following my calling, and this is my calling. Even though right now it may not be that many people who clown me or bully me or try to alienate me or even try to demonize me for following my faith-based content, a lot of people bully me, alienate me, demonize me for being a plus size woman. So it's like, either way, you're gonna get hate regardless. But what I'm trying to focus on is that the people who feel like they're being genuine, or they feel like they're being sincere with how they talk to others, this is a reminder that sometimes you end up demonizing someone because they're different. Lock in, y'all, because this is gonna be a ride. This episode, the masses may not agree, but I'm not making content for the masses. I'm making content for you, whoever's watching it, because you decided to open this video. I have often seen, heard, and experienced people being alienated because they're different, you know, and there's common examples of that everywhere. There could be a kid, a school age kid, little girl, let's just say, and she still has a creative imagination. She's still very in tune with role play, right? So she still plays with her dolls. It's 7th, 8th grade. A lot of the other girls and a lot of other students, they're not playing with dolls or action figures. They're playing with video games, or they're just on their phone. They don't even, you know, they're not even playing with the DSs and the DSIs nowadays. They're just strictly on their phone, on their tablet. This young girl's, you know, is confident in her truth, and it brings her enjoyment. So she may be talking to someone on the playground like, yeah, I was playing with my dolls and this and that, and they're so fun, and I got these new clothes and I got these new accessories to go with my dolls. And the kids are like, girl, what? You still playing with dolls? Girl, we over here looking at explicit content on our cell phone. What are you doing? Keep up. So that little girl may feel some type of way. We all know how that story goes, and some of you may have been that little girl. I was that little girl. I mean, today's generation is a lot different. You know, I didn't stop playing with dolls until 8th grade. And like, some of my peers were like very active in the world, let's just say that, in 8th grade. And I was still going home. At that time, I was getting a little allowance, a little money. I was buying dolls. I was like, oh yeah, I got me a set. I enjoyed them because of my imagination, because of my creativity, my will, my want to storytell, right? People on the playground, we didn't have playgrounds in 7th, 8th grade, but y'all get what I'm saying. People at school were just like, girl, you still, not even just people, it may even be people you're closest to. I think it was like my best friend at the time. She was just like, girl, like, you be still playing with dolls? And at that time, I was like, I don't care. But I saw her start to get other groups of friends, and you know, and it develops an insecurity, like, oh, maybe something wrong with me, maybe I'm weird. But like, okay, granted, some people may still think that I was weird for still playing with dolls in 7th, 8th grade, but I was having fun, and it was relieving my stress, okay? One day, I just decided to pack everything up, and I took it downstairs, and it's been in my basement ever since. And I'm waiting until I have kids, or my brother has kids, and I'm telling you, I'm bringing it out, and I'm gonna be that girl all over again in 7th and 8th grade, because we playing with them dolls. Because ain't nobody getting no cell phones at a young age. Well, 7th, 8th grade, that's like preteen. But anyway, but it brought me peace, okay? Especially when I was used to being bullied at school. I was used to, you know, not being treated right because I was a bigger girl. And I wasn't even that big at the time, but that's a whole nother conversation. Finding something that brings you peace was okay for me. It was keeping me sane. It was keeping me, like, happy. And even that, people robbed because it was different. So they were like, oh, we all stopped playing with dolls in like 5th, 6th grade. Why is she still playing with them? We need to make sure she's on the same board with us. Why? I don't know. Another example could be a college student. This is just a random example that I could think of. But like, a college student is very dedicated to their academics, their you know, their scholarship and all of that, what college students should stand for. And they hear through the grapevine like, oh, it's some party tonight, it's supposed to be popping, we gonna be at a frat house, all this, right? So they like, oh, okay, why ain't Sally Sue coming to the party? Why is she finna be at the library? Like, you're weird, why is that? And Sally Sue like, you know why y'all care what I do with my time. Just because I don't want to go smoke and drink doesn't make me less of a person. I just, either she could just really value her academics, or she just respects her situation enough that whoever put her in school, she's not trying to be wasting no time. Good for Sally Sue, because she was grown enough and realized, man, I don't care what y'all got going on. It'd be the same thing at all the parties. I'm still finna go to the library. Another scenario that I thought about was, which is a really common one that I've been seeing a lot on social media, especially when it comes to other creatives within the church, and how these creatives are not finding a place to be creative within the church. So they're going outside of the church, which is okay. The issue is whatever happened in that situation, they're not having any sense of reconciliation with the members of the church. So they're just totally abandoning the church, which is not the goal. Jeremiah is in the church. He loves it. He's involved. He's all for it. He's eager to do more, to learn more. He's inspired. He's on fire. He has passion to let other people in their community know about God, right? Jeremiah comes to the church, and he comes to the pastor, and he's like, hey, I have this idea. Let's start doing this, or like, what about this event, or let's go evangelize out over in this community, or let's venture out to this church, or whatever he feels led, right? Other people, sometimes elders, nowadays sometimes not, because we're all getting older. So like, the young adults that we used to look up to, we're the young adults now. He comes to a meeting, and he's at the meeting. He looks around. No one is in agreement of what he wants to do. So he may be alone on his idea, because it may be a radical, a more creative thing, or something that church has never done before. But he has that passion. He's like, he's not going to let it go. He's not going to let it down. He's like, no, I feel like we should do X, Y, Z, A, B, C. We could tweak it a little bit, but I feel like we should do something more creative, something that can call out to different types of people. You know, the elders, because we honor our elders, we honor the leaders of the church. They tell him, okay, hush. Jeremiah is talking, he's on fire, he has this passion. He's just like, hey y'all, like, let's do this, let's do that. And then an elder of the church is like, no, son, hold on, brother. We don't do that here. We do XYZ ABC, the same thing we've been doing for the past 20-30 years. And Jeremiah's like, huh? He's been brought to this new revelation of God and all this other stuff, and he wants to spread that, and he feels like he has to do it within the church. Now, one lesson in that is that you don't always have to go through the church to help other people, hence me doing this podcast. But it is also important to still help your community at the church or whatever. But in that scenario, Jeremiah was silenced. Now he don't want to give y'all no more ideas. Now he don't want to help. Now he don't want to do nothing, because y'all made him feel like his idea was not, at least y'all didn't at least sit and talk about it. Y'all didn't at least have a thought about it, or at least try to do it. Now it's just ironic that we continue to do the same thing we've been doing for years. Jeremiah feels some type of way. So he's silenced, and he goes back in his corner. He still may have fire, but that passion is dwindling down because of how the other church folk may have treated him, because of how other people may have treated him, right? Some of those may have been a long-winded scenario or example, but I really wanted to get y'all to understand how common being alienated, being different, causes problems within different settings, within different communities. But in all these examples, the kid, the college student, the church member, they all were different and had a different outlook on life than most people, than the norm. Now, just because you're different doesn't necessarily mean that you're a good person or that you have pure intentions and all of these things. Now, it's also important, clearly, for us to use discernment to understand, okay, if someone has like some idea that doesn't align with church values, or if a college student is doing something to like harm themselves or do something illegal, then obviously we can use discernment that it's like, okay, yeah, you may be different, you may be doing something that's not good or edifying to self, then I'm gonna leave that be. A kid is playing with dolls, that's different to someone who is playing games on their phone, and vice versa. But that doesn't make neither one of them a bad person. These situations can be on both ends of the stick. It's always important to be true to self and be accountable, because what I'm going to get into, it works on both ends. In all these scenarios, again, they were treated differently and they were demonized, right? Now, you may be saying, Jean, literally calm down, relax. Why do you keep putting this demonic, demonizing, like this strong language, this strong verbiage? What are you getting at? Because it's kind of turning me off. Now, hear me out. I've had this topic idea like months ago, right? And one day, like I think probably something, a scenario happened to me, and the phrase different doesn't equal demonic came in my head. So now that I'm trying to do my podcast notes, I look back and I'm like, okay, let me look. What does demonize mean? What does that mean? The textbook definition means to portray as wicked and threatening, right? So when I read that, I was like, okay, boom. That's why I feel like God gave me this, because that key word in that whole definition is the last word, and it's threatening. And a lot of us can relate that when someone feels threatened by your power, when someone feels threatened by your calling, they instantly try to clown you. We see it all the time. When people walk in their purpose, it causes a threat. When people are confident, it causes a threat. When you are genuine and other people are attracted to you because of your realness and your genuineness, it causes and it poses a threat to all the other people, because now they're like, wait, why are we called to this person? Why do we keep going to them? Because they a G, honestly. The other students on the playground, in middle school, whatever, they're threatened because this little girl is still able to have some of her innocence and get to play these games, and she's confidently doing it and talking about it. The college student, they're threatened because they see someone who is educated, who is trying to strive to higher heights, and who doesn't seek validation from the world, who doesn't seek validation from drinking and partying. Other people may be threatened because sometimes, and this is in any community, in any thing where there's leadership roles, there's always going to be someone who wears their leadership as a title, as a badge, as if they're better than you because they have something, they have whatever calling, right? And it's not about that. Jeremiah was just a young man who just wanted to have more people to feel the love of God that he has experienced. But we let us being threatened blind us from what everyone's purpose in these scenarios are for, so we treat them differently. Or like specifically the church example, that person over there trying to do something different nowadays, you know, they trying to get too far away from the word. Like, no one is trying to get far away from the word, okay? Because God is the creator of all things. He used max creativity. He is the definition of a creative. So it's like when sometimes we think outside the box in our life and we try to do something different, people get threatened. Because they're scared of being different. They don't want change. They don't know how to strive for higher heights because they are okay with being content. I wanted to use the language of demonize is because I feel like it really puts more emphasis on the scenario than just saying, oh, someone was alienated. Because I feel like since we use that term so often, it doesn't really put enough unction, I guess, on like how much that can impact someone. The Lord was like, yeah. Demonized. I was like, right on. Demonized. Also, when he gave me that example about like other Christians, and again, that's why I preface it, or that's why I try to mention that a church is a community, and any community, whatever community you're in, there's always going to be some, like, there's always going to be, everyone's not going to agree with everything. There's going to be cliques, unfortunately. That's real life. You know, and I feel like me saying this, I'm trying to get people to better understand that, like, yes, things may happen, but it's about how we react, because the world already is going to try to bring you down no matter what you try to do. You're going to be a Christian. The world going to be like, oh, my God, he's too religious. And I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. But they're going to be like, oh, my God, she's going crazy. She's gone off the end. I'm not clowning other people for doing things that, like, I don't believe in, because at their capacity, they're happy. They feel like that's what they're supposed to be doing. Okay, fine. What my podcast is for, who I'm meant to be talking to, is the people who want change, who want something different, who are seeking more, like I'm seeking more during this season. Any content creative thing that I've done is not meant for everyone. People don't even realize how they come off. People don't even realize how that threatening sense of you being threatened, now your pride is attacked. Now you're attacking people, but you're being nice, nasty, right? We know what that is, right? A lot of people be nice, nasty, and I feel like it affects a lot of things. And I try to be wise, and I try to use my examples specifically, but at the end of the day, someone may feel attacked no matter what I say. My intention is not to attack anybody. My intention is not to attack the church, of course. My intention is to make us all realize how some things can affect others. Because that little girl in school, that college student, that member of a church, there's way more, thousands of examples of how people feel silenced or how people feel weirded out because people are like making them feel bad about what they think is right or what they feel like they should be doing in their lives or what they feel like they're passionate about. That's not a good thing that we should do, because you're making fun of someone who's trying to do something different. You're making fun of someone who is happy within their truth. And again, I don't think most of us think that we're doing it, but maybe this, you know, this conversation can incline you to look back and think and be like, okay, is there a time where I may have treated someone different? Is there a time where I may have been like, you know, a little scared of something being different? That's okay. That's a human thing. I just want y'all to think. Let's use our brains. Let's think for a second. That's it. I just want us to think. More bigger thing that I feel like I'm struggling with in my life is my creativity and wanting more and wanting to do all these like things that may take a lot of time, money, and effort. And I was reading in my studies, I was reading Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That's an NLT. I'm gonna quickly go to the King James because I'm looking for specific words. So King James Version. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. What? That like totally confused me. What? See, this is why I stick to the NLT version, because what? Okay, here we go. Thank you. NIV version. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Right? Man, it took a minute to get there, but a lot of good reasons why we look at different versions of the Bible. But sometimes, I ain't gonna lie, I'd be a little confused. I'd be like, what does that say? That's why I stick to certain versions at this point of my walk. But anyway, so I when I read that, I was like, now, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because like I was, you know, in a consecrated time with God. And I was just like, you know what? This is not like this one little sentence is talked about so much, but we don't give it enough appreciation for what this is actually saying and everything that this encompasses. The whole like the book of Genesis is so so many examples come from that book alone. And I really feel like it sets the tone for the rest of the book on how every little thing is important. I was reading and I'm like, wow, like my God created everything. The level of beauty in God's intellect, whatever, his brain, if he has, I don't know. Because the way that I view God, like I don't want to freak anyone out, but I just like, I don't think he's a human. I mean, he's not a human. He came down as a human as Jesus. But like, you know, God is a being. Okay. Something that passes our understanding. That's why none of us are able to see him. Because if we see him, we got to die. Which also, I'm going to get back on track, chat. I'm going to get back on track. Okay. I just had to get this off. But which also kind of like makes me like, you know, still have that fear of God. That like, whoa, like you probably look so crazy. You probably look so, not even crazy, scary. He probably looks mad scary. But I'm serious, y'all. Like, like sometimes I be thinking, because mind you, I'm very imaginative. I'm a visual person. So it's like sometimes when I read certain things in the Word, I be like, whoa, that's actually kind of creepy, yo. That's neither here nor there. I'm just kind of trying to explain to y'all like the wow moment I had, because I'm made in his image. We're all made in his image, right? In his likeness. And the fact that I am a creative, I like got chills. I was like, hold on. Y'all, hear me out, okay? This God used max creativity. And to him, to us, he used max creativity. And it's the simple fact that like, since we're made in his image, we're all elite, okay? Like we're all up there. We're all kings and queens. That's how we're supposed to, you know, we have to understand how great we are, you know what I'm saying? Because of his grace, because of his glory, because of his mercy upon us, that we're able to still be alive on this earth and have a part of him within us. But when I was realizing, I'm like, this guy, like I'm like, God is so creative. And I was thinking about how extra special that makes me, how extra special that makes any one of you who are creatives, right? I've been a creative person since the day I was born, okay? I remember from just the earliest of ages, like, you know, I'm imaginative, so I'm playing with dolls, but I'm writing books when I'm younger. I'm writing comic books during class when I'm supposed to be doing work. I'm creating things with clay. I'm painting. I'm drawing. I'm writing. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's so many different ways. And now I do more of my creativity through content. So it's like I've always saw things in like this imaginative world. I always saw things in like this, you know, creative light. This creative lens. And sometimes I may have been clowned about that, or I may have been looked at as weird, looked at as, you know, whatever they want to call me today. That just gave me comfort. That gave me it gave me revelation that, like, hold on, y'all tweaked out because I'm a creative and I'm using a rice grain size of creativity, but that's still, that rice grain size is still creativeness that came from my God. That came from the God who created everything. Like, are y'all, like, is that not, like, mind-blowing? Like, what are we talking about here? Because I'm sitting here, like, I know I'm hyped up, I'm geeked up, because I'm obviously passionate about this. And it's just so crazy because it gave me a sense of belonging. That's what it is. It gave me a sense of belonging because no matter if you're alienated, if you're demonized, whatever word we want to use, you know, it's all the same thing. If you're outcasted because of your creativity specifically, or because of anything else, and your heart is still genuine, your heart still is, you know, is in a right place with God, your relationship is in a right place with God, it doesn't matter because God gave you that. God gave you that creativity. And what's important is that you have to utilize it in ways that, you know, edifies him, of course, edifies the spirit and everything. I just felt like so comforted when I read that. And mind you, that scripture, that's why it's always important to keep reading your word. Because even though I have not read that whole book, and one day I will, and there's a lot of pages in that book that I've never seen or never read. But even when I read scriptures that I've heard thousands and thousands of times throughout my life, I'm like, but when I read it, it hit different. Because everyone else, or like when I heard people say, like, oh yeah, we're all, you know, made in his image. God created this, God created that. We're like, yeah, you know, he did that. He's so cool. But like when I read it, because I'm at a place of like seeking more knowledge and understanding who I am as a person, I'm like, hold on, God, we like, I am made in your image. And this is how I'm made in your image. I'm made in your image and I'm like you because I'm a creative like you. I need y'all to start touching and agreeing in the comments because like that is so mind-blowing. I say all that to say, you know, I'm kind of teetered, so I had to dial it back. But don't let anybody, nobody, none of them try to make you feel weird, bad, or less than because you are different. When I read it, he related it to me and my life and what I'm going through, that I'm trying to do stuff that like a lot of people are afraid to do, or I'm doing things that's going to take a lot more creativity. And again, no matter where the setting is, there is always going to be somebody who feels threatened by you seeing life differently through a different perspective, through a different lens. You have to move with wisdom. Like, okay, some people are going to clown you. There's going to be hatred no matter where you are, and some people may treat you differently. But how you respond is going to really tell them off in the most respectful way possible. And time again, when you tell somebody off by not saying nothing, I promised you, that's how you leave a memorable mark, okay? By not saying that. And if you know me personally, you know I'm one person who I don't shut up for nothing, okay? I talk all the dang on time. But when it comes to I'm being disrespected or something like that, I'm gonna look at them like, what? Oh, okay. And I'm going to keep it pushing. So my advice to you, you'll be like, okay, be kind, spread love, nod your head, and walk away. That's it. That's all. Because when you start fighting fire with fire at that point, going back to what demonizing, like the definition of that is, who at that point, who's wicked? Who's the wicked one? They're scared of being different. But lead by example. Lead. Tap in to the difference. Okay. Tap into being different. Tap into that confidence that scares them because it doesn't scare you. And that's what's important, because eventually they'll catch on the train and they'll understand where the new direction is going. But for right now, control what you can control and be like, you know what I say, be kind, spread love, nod your head, walk away. A lot of the times when we get so offended about being alienated and all this other stuff, it's obviously because it's ruining our sense of belonging. And that's why it's important to read your word, because even if someone else tried to ruin my sense of belonging, because I read my word, I know that I'm God's child. See, that's the level of confidence that I had to develop over time, because I'm like, can't nobody take that away from me, and will never take it away from me, because I know who I am. But of course, there's one last example I wanted to leave y'all with. So there's a SpongeBob episode, right? I love SpongeBob. SpongeBob is one of my favorite shows. Season 4, episode 14, if you want to look it up, it's called Wig Struck. And let me tell you, this episode puts everything in perspective. And I'm laughing because I made a post on Instagram about it, like maybe a couple weeks ago. And when I was writing my notes, I was like, ah, this example is perfect for this episode, this podcast. So basically, if you haven't seen the episode, I'm gonna try to, for people on YouTube, I'm gonna try to put a picture on the screen to show y'all which SpongeBob episode I'm talking about. But basically, SpongeBob's walking on the street. He sees the dumpster and there's this extremely dated wig, right? It's a tall, gray, you know, one of them founding father type looking wigs. So he wears the wig. And obviously he got it out the dumpster, and he's just like, he's walking the streets with confidence. You can't tell SpongeBob nothing. He's feeling himself. He's like, yes, I got a wig, hang time long, hair up, do. You know what I'm saying? Like, SpongeBob is feeling himself at this point. He goes to work. He's cooking all of the stuff. Now, the wig does start shedding into the Krabby Patties, but that's not neither here nor there. We're talking about how confident that wig made SpongeBob. He hears everyone's laughing, and he's like, yeah, y'all love my wig. He thinks that, you know, everyone's being cheerful because he has a new hairdo. Sandy pulls SpongeBob to the side. Sandy's like, Bob, listen here, bro. No one is laughing with you, dude. Like, the wig is dirty. It's infested with insects. Please put it away. And SpongeBob's like, but Sand, dude, Sand Dog, Karate Kid, Karate Chop, brother, why do I need to throw away this wig? Like, it's cool. I love it. And Sandy's like, Bob, again, I'm telling you, the wig is not you, bro. Like, throw it away. Everyone's laughing at you. They're not laughing with you. Now, some may say Sandy was a good person in that moment because she was like looking out for Bob or whatever. But and some can say, you know, there's like so many ways you can look at this episode. But some could also say that, like, OK, Sandy could have been like, you know, if the wig makes you happy, let's just wash it maybe. And but you can still rock out and wear your wig anyway. SpongeBob gets discouraged, like most people would, because if your friend or family member comes to you and checks you about, like, nah, you're a little too weirded out. What you're doing is not normalized by the masses. You need to put it away. So he throws the wig away. The next day, or that night, a rock band star finds the wig, puts it on because he had a bald head. He puts the wig on and he's like, he starts posting pictures. He's on magazines. He's doing shows with his rock band because he has this wig on, because now he's not bald. And the next day, SpongeBob wakes up. He walks to work. And what does he see? In all of Bikini Bottom, he sees that founding father, tall, gray, old freaking wig. Everyone is wearing it. Isn't that funny? Don't you find that suspicious? Don't you find that weird? You know, because, you know, SpongeBob, he was just wearing the wig and everyone was clowning him. Now, you see, the message here is, okay, follow me. I know I'm all over the place. I'm talking about people demonizing folks. I'm talking about kids. I'm talking about college students. I'm talking about church members. And I'm talking about SpongeBob and Sandy. No, yeah, Jean, you really got off the deep end. We can't follow you. We don't know what's going on. But here's the message. The world, everyone, your community, your family, whoever, they're going to clown you until they see someone who has already made it doing what you do. So don't stop doing what you do, because everyone has a starting point. Everyone has that journey. And because in our lifetime, we may see certain celebrities doing XYZ, ABC, things are more romanticized when they do it because they have so many eyes watching them. But when a regular person who has a regular job at a restaurant does something different, everyone wants to clown them because they're at a level of us or even beneath us. So we think it's okay to demonize them. You follow? Or we think it's okay to bully them or alienate them, make them even more different, make them be that outgroup and point the finger at them. You know, it may be a cartoon, but there's some heavy messages in SpongeBob, okay, that we can all glean from. Don't be like SpongeBob. Stand in your truth. Stand in what makes you confident. Maybe tweak it a little bit because, you know, we're not perfect. So sometimes along our journey, we need to change little different things. Like in his scenario, he should have just washed his wig and kept doing what made him happy. So that's the relation of SpongeBob to different doesn't equal demonic. So hopefully that made some sense. And please don't mistake what I'm saying to just you have it as an excuse to be stubborn, to not change for the better. That's not what I'm saying. I really enjoyed this episode because I feel like it encompasses my creativity and all of my thoughts that be going through my head and how I get connections from every little thing. And don't forget, different does not equal demonic. That's just the way I see it, y'all. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode. I know it was a little all over the place, but I really enjoyed this episode. It was fun for me to make. A special shout out to all the people who listen on other podcasting platforms, specifically my Apple Podcast users. Shouts out to y'all. I need all of you to like, comment, and subscribe. But most importantly, I need you all to go onto Apple Podcasts and write your girl a review. Let me know the things you like, the things you don't like, the things you want to see. And leave me a couple of stars so I can know what I need to grow in, what I need to change, or what I should keep doing. That will be greatly appreciated because that'll help me out a lot. We have a lot of life ahead of us and we have a lot to do. So get some peaceful rest. And like always, never forget, I love you. And most importantly, God loves you because you are his child. I'll see y'all next week on Bedtime Talks with Jean. Peace.